A comment, Ben, that hair on point.
Right?
Yeah, you're looking good.
Thank you. I'm like afraid to cut it right now.
You should be very afraid to cut it.
Like, I don't want to touch it.
Like, I have a feeling the magic's going to be lost if you cut it. You're like Rapunzel's hair. Dang. It looks good.
Thank you, man. As do you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Susan. I'm pretty proud of the hair. All thanks to Dr. Rogers' Happy Healthy Hair.
Yep.
We're going to have hair forever.
Hair forever.
Hair forever.
We're going to let some people jump in here. Can you guys see us okay? This is a new little format for us. We're here in person.
In person down in Knoxville. I'm starting to work a little bit in Knoxville. Yep. So that's been a little bit of a transition in the Johnson City Clinic. I'm still coming up to JC. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yep.
And so I'm splitting my time between Knoxville and here. Ben just really needs me, you know?
I've always needed you.
Ben needs me. I do think you're the funniest part. When people rank the Rogers kids in terms of how funny we are, usually Kelly comes in number one. She's a very in-your-face funny. She's very Chris Farley funny. She's it's very shocking. Me, classic funny. I like to compare myself to Ryan Reynolds, both in looks and in charisma. And Ben's low-key funny.
Low-key.
Man, if you've ever had a conversation with Ben, you're bound to laugh.
It's just fun.
I'm bound to laugh.
Well, Ange, thank you for that.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to boost your ego so big you won't be able to leave the door, ladies and gentlemen.
Guys, we're so pumped to be here. I see my brother Steve's in here. Steve, what's going on? Terry, D-Lynn, thank you. Am I not on YouTube? Why are we not on YouTube? There we go. I think we just went on YouTube. Are you guys seeing us? Roel, you seeing us? Cherry, what's going on? Great to see you. Thank you, guys. We're going to let some more people come in. This is the Rich. What's going on, man? Great to see you.
We got great people. And look at everyone. Man, this is a good group.
Performance Medicine Show. We're going to go here for till around 8, answering your health and wellness questions. We've had a few people send in questions already. And if you guys have questions for Andy, go ahead and put them in the comments. Cool. Winnie, you going to the JC Clinic. Awesome.
Glad hey, to see that. Nice. No, oh, I'm telling you, JC Clinic, they know what's up.
They do.
They know what's up. And two, I'm just learning too, they have a lot of windows. The Knoxville Clinic, I love it. There are no windows.
Yeah.
There are none. And I don't want to say it's a prison. I mean, God, that's a strong word. But God, there's a lot of windows in the Johnson City Clinic. I tell people just to, golly, just go in and check out the
look at this clinic. From Winnie B.
I know. Oh, Winnie. I'm telling you what. You were the key part of that dance. Nobody cared about the lift. It was that spring. Yep. I'm telling you, you were the catalyst that started that whole dance.
I love that whole thing.
Winnie is, she is Dancing with the Stars. You know that.
I do know that.
She is Dancing. There would not be a Dancing with the Stars without Winnie. She's awesome. She is I think you're so funny. It makes the night so much fun. I feel like I've overextended my welcome at Dancing with the Stars. I've danced too many years in a row. So I think I might have to hang up my hat on that. I don't know.
I think you always got to come back, man.
I don't know.
We're on a good show.
They're going to be like, oh, as does God, the whole crew again? Again? Thanks for coming in, Winnie. You'll love the Johnson City Clinic. They're a great team.
I see Grandma Mary's in here. Grandma Mary, we love you.
Okay, just getting in. Nobody does it like Kiki. So Grandma Mary and I are actually, I'm learning a new skill, which I recommend to anybody. Learning a new skill is good, whether or not it's getting out on the stage at Jonesboro Repertory Theater, my fave, or two, learning bridge. Grandma Mary is teaching me the art of bridge, and we're going to dominate
I think you
the
will.
Blake.
I
we
think
are.
You will. That's awesome.
It is way more complicated than Uno. There's a lot of stuff I've been trying to remember, and I can't.
It's not goldfish.
And goldfish?
Goldfish.
You said goldfish.
I said goldfish. Just goldfish.
Okay. You eat the goldfish, and then you play the goldfish. But yes.
All right. So what we need to do? We need to get some health and wellness questions. We have to do it. We have to do it.
Let's make health and wellness great again, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do it. Let's get to some cues.
Guys, we're going to get to some questions here. If you have a question for Andy, put it in the comments. I see Rich has already put one in there, or that's a comment. We'll get to that, Rich. I hope your son starts to feel better. Yeah. Are we live? Are we on YouTube now, guys? Winnie B's on YouTube. Okay, just want to make sure that we're up and running on all the platforms. Shoot, I need to make sure we're on Instagram, and I just did. Let's see here. Hello to all the Instagram people. All right, guys, we're going to get to some questions here real quick. I want to give just a quick plug because I want to. We've got our very own Dr. Rogers formulas. You'll see there, that's Michael Loomis at the top there. It was a Common Sense MD episode we did with him, who from Freedom to Formulate. You can see all the Dr. Rogers formulas there. A little right there on performancemedicine.net/shop. If you guys have any questions about that, put them in the comments. We're happy to answer any vitamin questions tonight. All right, Foxy Moxie, thank you for letting us know you're on YouTube. We are live everywhere now, guys, so we're going to take questions. We're going to get started with, I want to start with this one. Does methylene blue help with cardiovascular disease? I know you're a huge fan of methylene blue.
I'm on the blue.
Yep.
I'm wearing blue.
Yep.
In honor of methylene blue. This is a good question. Generally, methylene blue helps nearly everything. I could say that you could venture to say, does methylene blue help whatever? It most likely does. And that's a very general statement. That's not necessarily true. But can it help with cardiovascular disease? Absolutely. It works on the endothelium. So whenever we're looking at blood pressure, you're looking at whether or not the blood pressure system tightens or relaxes. So actually, if you look at it for cardiovascular disease, it actually helps out with hypotension. If you look up research or however they use it in the emergency settings, they're looking up hypotension or vasoplegic syndrome with cardiovascular arrest or cardiac arrest. So really, you would think, does it strengthen? Or usually when you're thinking about cardiovascular disease, you're wanting to relax the system. This actually helps it not relax, which sounds counterintuitive, but that it's working particularly on an enzyme that's with IV doses. So when you look up cardiovascular disease and methylene blue, it's really with IV doses administered in a emergency situation to actually help you not be hypotensive or low blood pressure. But really the way that methylene blue works in a more day-to-day basis, if you're doing it for preventative health or longevity, you're looking at it PO by mouth. You're doing it in either a liquid or a pill form at much, much lower doses. So really, can it help out with cardiovascular disease? It depends on what you're meaning by cardiovascular disease. Whenever we think about the heart, we think about the arterial system going into the heart. Is there calcifications or occlusions? So you want to open those up. We're also thinking about heartbeat and rhythm and electrical conductivity. Methylene blue is not really going to do much with either of those, but it does work on the health of the cell. It works on the mitochondria, and as you make the mitochondria work better, which is the factory of the cell, usually everything does start to improve. So we're really looking at it as an antioxidant, which can secondarily or tertiary affect cardiovascular disease positively. But when you look that up, it's really more for hypotension in a emergency setting.
Are you mainly taking it yourself or as an antioxidant just to keep your immune system strong?
I'm working on it for mitochondria. And two, for the electron transport chain, this is almost like the factory belts in the mitochondria and the powerhouse of the cell. If you think about the cell as a city, mitochondria is Eastman. Mm. They're making everything that's in that city.
Okay.
We're chemical kids. Yeah. Eastman.
Oak Ridge.
K25, Y12, X10. No wonder. Yeah. Problems. But you're thinking about the factory of this. You're thinking about the factory of the city. The electron transport chain helps flush out all those to make the factory work better. So I'm doing it too because there's some research saying that it improves Alzheimer's disease, which is something that is a part of our family history. They're saying that it decreases the formations of amyloid plaques, which is part of, or the tau, which is part of how almost like your cerebral spinal fluid gets a little bit spongy and tangly, and you get rid of those tangles with Alzheimer's and methylene blue. It has kept me alert. That's how I notice it when I'm on it, and I have not, knock on wood, gotten sick in about 6 months.
That's incredible.
And especially during a show, I was just talking with Winnie on here. I do local theater, and I dance, and you're kind of burning the candles at both ends. Inevitably, I will get sick in a show. This last one I did, and we did 21 or 22 production or performances. I didn't get sick once, and neither did our lead either. She didn't, and she did Methylene Blue as well. So that's what I think. It just makes everything work better.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for that.
And I keep beeping. I'm sorry. Okay, listen. My pump has been... Knoxville crew, if you're on today, you know my pump is just beeping all day. We're going to tear it apart. I am. So if I'm beeping, I'm not... I promise you. It's just being like, replace this, replace it. It's just near the end. Speaking of which, we had a diabetes episode recently about the over-the-counter Dexcom. Yep. It's coming out soon.
No, it was out today. Went out today. The diabetes toy guide.
But I mean, Dexcom is coming out soon.
Middle of
2025. Yeah.
That was a really good episode, going over the OTC Dexcom, and it kind of talks about just it's a continuous glucose monitor. Really, I was actually having a conversation Saturday night about, is the only placement for a continuous glucose monitor on your tricep?
So that's where mine's placed right now. You can technically... If you look on it, they want you to put it on the arm. You can put it other places.
Okay.
It depends on what kind of absorption you get. I don't get really great, accurate readings on the belly. On the hip or the top of the butt, I do get pretty accurate readings. So it just depends. People will put it on their leg. You can really put it anywhere where there's subcutaneous tissue.
Yeah.
They have just studied it in the arm, and that's where they feel like it gets the best readings.
Interesting.
My arms are so muscular, though, so I don't know.
You work out so much.
I just work out so much. It's just really off, you know?
If you guys want to learn more about that, go to the YouTube channel. It's called Over-the-Counter Dexcom on the Diabetes Tour Guide, which I think we're live on the Diabetes Tour Guide right now. Okay, Edna, I see you. Tammy, I see you.
Edna, oh.
Carter, I see you. Love the blue. Linda, what's up? We love you. Montana, what's going on? Montana, you were with Andy today.
She heard me beeping all day. All day.
All right, let's keep going here, guys. Thank you for the methylene blue question. By the way, if you guys want that in the drop form, you can find that on our website, performancemedicine.net/shop. This is a thyroid question here. It came over on Instagram. Thank you to all the Instagram people. What does it mean when your TSH is 1.85, free T4 is 0.79, and your free T3 is 1.92. Have follow-up with my doc in 2 weeks. Can you explain a little bit what those numbers mean?
Yeah, so this is a thyroid panel. So TSH is thyroid stimulating hormone. FT4 is free T4 or thyronine or levothyroxine. Sorry, thyroxine. So that is inactive thyroid. Free T3 is thyronine, which is active thyroid. And free in the F just means, is it available? Is it free to do what it needs to do? Is it free?
Is it free?
Give us free. Yeah. Is it free? No. So too, that it's able to do something. So this particular panel is a good one if your doctor did draw it, because a lot of the times they'll just draw a T4 or a TSH. So having a little bit more complete panel, you can really also too, you can draw antibodies. There's TPO, there's TG, there's TRAB. You can do reverse T3, total T3, total T4. You can have it's way more than just TSH, T4. What I like about this panel is you're seeing what your conversion rate is. TSH talks to the thyroid, which lives around right here, if you can see. And it says, make more, make less. So if this number keeps going up, it means, hey, thyroid, like, come on, make more. And then it makes more T4, which then has to convert into T3. So with these particular numbers, this really, and to where we can't like treat over the internet. So what it means for you is how it relates to your symptoms. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at a technical clinical look or textbook look of what thyroid or hypothyroid is, it would be that TSH is probably above 4 or 5, depending on the lab. And then two, you would have a lower T4.78. I think the one that we use is below 0.8 is technically low thyroid for T4. T3 is below 2. It just depends on the lab that you drew. So for this, I would say, most people feel best when TSH is suppressed to about 0.8. And most people feel better when T3 or that FT3 is closer to about 3.5. So it depends on if you have symptoms. If you have these labs and you don't feel anything, and you feel fantastic, you might not have to mess with it. But if you have a lot of low thyroid symptoms or hyperthyroid symptoms, which is a whole nother beast, then that would be something I'd talk to you with your physician. So I would encourage you to look up symptoms of thyroid, see if you fit any of those, and then see too what you'd want to do about implementing treatments. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the physician whether or not they'll implement treatment without that TSH being above 4 or 5. Some won't. But there are some naturals that you can do to actually help increase your T3, which improves your thyroid function, if that's something you're interested in.
And for this listener, if you want to dive a bit deeper into how we look at thyroid, all you got to do is search for performance medicine thyroid or performance medicine Hashimoto's on YouTube. A bunch of videos will come up. They'll go over some of those natural treatments that Andy is talking about. All right, we're going to keep moving here, kind of along the same lines in regards to it gets to a thyroid part, but I'm going to start here. I heard you talk about dihydroberberine and weight loss. I'm 57, menopausal, and have taken phenamine off and on for a long time. And while I like the energy from it, I have never lost weight on it, meaning the phenamine. In fact, I almost think it has slowed down my metabolism. I'm hypothyroid and on Synthroid. Is berberine safe to take with Synthroid and Lexapro? Fantastic question. Thank you for bringing up dihydroberberine. What's going on?
Yeah. So no, thank you for that question. I'm sorry this is happening to you. That's a lot. We'll say menopause. Absolutely, that makes you hang on to weight a lot more. So I'd say addressing hormones is probably a good thing for you if that's something that you're interested in. That can help increase your metabolism. That can help out with weight. It can help out with how you feel, especially too with you've got two things affecting weight. Low thyroid usually makes it easier to hang on to weight. Same way with menopause, because those are low hormone syndromes. And Synthroid, for those of you don't know, that's a treatment for thyroid. That is levothyroxine, or the brand name for levothyroxine, which is FT4. It's all connecting.
There you go.
That's amazing. I haven't even addressed your question. Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can take berberine. It is safe to take with Synthroid. It's safe to take with Lexapro. Dihydroberberine is a little bit more potent than regular berberine, so you'll be taking like 200 to 250 once or twice a day. Berberine, you can take 400 four times a day. It's a little bit of a different mechanism. I like dihydroberberine, and I think it worked well with weight. For those of you, I like explaining things. So phentermine yep. is an appetite suppressant. It works on fight or flight, and as you work on fight or flight, and you increase that sympathetic nervous system, it's sympathomimetics, you'll forget to eat. Because when you run away during fight or flight, you forget to eat.
So that's how it works for weight loss?
That's how it works for weight loss. Phentermine, that's why people lose weight on Adderall. That's why there's a little bit of a pushback with putting kids on Adderall sometimes, okay. is that they may not be on the growth chart because they're not eating. So that's how it works. The hard part about that too, sure, slowing metabolism, if you're not eating from phentermine, it can absolutely slow metabolism because we need basic nutrients in order to survive and thrive, and your body will kind of find a set point. So I can see where that can slow metabolism too. If you're not innervating your gut to actually move, you want to eat. So phentermine too, with anything within psychiatric medications, because this is a psychiatric drug. It just means that it works with neurotransmitters dealing with your brain. There's either tolerance, dependence, or addiction. This one is tolerance. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of patients come to us and say, this doesn't work anymore. It did at one time, but it doesn't work anymore.
Yep.
It's because the more often you take it, the less often it can work.
Yeah.
Your body down-regulates some of those receptors that respond to it. So that was a long-winded answer. Yes. Yes, you can.
You know what's interesting is, you know, you and I have been spending a lot of time together over the last couple of days. I find myself forgetting to eat because I'm having such a good time with you.
That's not what that cake said last night. Or the yeehaws. I'm just kidding. That's so nice, Ben. Ben, that is so nice.
I mean it, man.
Ben, if we're giving any of the Rogers superlatives, Ben's by far the sweetest.
All right, we're going to keep moving. Real quick, I'm just going to put this up here. Katie, our operations manager, says,
order some berberine from us. So, whoa, 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 whoa. Katie in the house.
performancemedicine.net/shop to order our Dihydro Berberine.
Katie is so proud of our online.
It's awesome.
I'm proud of you, Katie. You have put in a lot of freaking work.
That online store is awesome. It's incredible.
It's awesome. And yeah, she's having a watch party for it. I know she is. She's having a watch party. So get some Berberine from her, okay? Make her day. Go get some.
What we're going to do is we're going to do a behind-the-scenes video of when we get an order and what happens in the annex. Just from, like, start to finish.
Confetti.
To the boxes, to everything. Yeah. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
All right, we're going to keep moving here. Thank you guys for that question. Let's go to – I love this question. Came through email. My annual appointment with my PCP consists of pleasantries, a quick listen to my heart and lungs through my shirt and a feel of my neck, if that. Otherwise, it's refills and he's out the door. The nurse will draw labs and I'll either get a voicemail or a portal message with results. What should a 35-year-old man expect during his annual physical? This is a great question. This is right around your and I's age. What should this person expect, and is that normal? Are you seeing that in office in terms of like they come to you and they're like, this is what's normal with the traditional PCP?
So what to expect versus what's normal routine, that just depends. Should you expect this? Yeah, you should probably expect that. That's probably the most you're going to get during your annual physical, especially if you're a healthy 35-year-old. If they don't have anything that they're particularly looking for, then they may not investigate more. If you say, hey, I feel fantastic and I have no problems, they're probably not going to do any more. Because a lot of it, too, depends on time, how much time they booked. I don't want to say I'm on the fence about this one, but I get it. I get why they don't do that. I get where they say, hey, I trust you.
Sure.
You look really healthy. Your labs look amazing. You have no issues. I don't need to spend an hour and a half in a full physical. When you learn physicals...
That's a good point.
I get it. But at the same time, I think we should create... I think there should be more than that. I really do. I don't think it's going to hurt you in the long run if you don't really get more than that. But there's a lot more that you can tell. You can tell a lot about your nutrition by your fingernails, ridges, spooning. You can tell a lot about just from your fingernails, from your tongue, from your conjunctiva. You can do a lot more detailed exam. So I think we should be doing more. Typically, we don't do a lot of physical exams at Performance Medicine. We'll do some sports physicals. We've done some for the high schools before. But a lot of ours is more lab focus, symptom focus, hormone focus. So I get it that they don't do that. I wouldn't be upset if they did that. But if you're looking for more, I'd maybe look for a practitioner that does a little bit more complete exams. You can find them. You can probably find them and say, I want like a 45. It will take 45 minutes to do a really complete exam. And it depends too. A lot of what's happening with these physicals is that you're getting shifted off or punted off to other specialists. Hey, I think I hear something in your heart. I'll set you up with the cardiologist. They hear this all the time. Hey, I don't really do paps and pelvics in the office. Your OB or gynecologist will do that. Or, hey, I really don't do prostates that much. We'll just set you up with urology because your PSA is 3.9. A lot of the specialty, like you kind of get good at that one exam you do. So that's kind of the trends that I'm seeing. I do think that there could be more. And it might be in your benefit too to be like, yeah, everything hurts. They may do a little bit more. Because too, same thing, abdominal exam. They may send you to GI if you say you have abdominal stuff instead of feeling around on your guts. Typically, if I'm getting that in the room with a patient and it's a very specific complaint that I feel that's within my wheelhouse, we don't do any gynecological exams, but like abdominal pain, I'll do a fuller abdominal exam for that to see if you can elicit anything and then order imaging from there. But you can expect, you can expect this. And maybe too, that's a call. Maybe we'll have a performance medicine physicals. I don't know. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. It's a very interesting question. I'm glad you brought that up in terms of like, it is kind of a fine line because man, you could go down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go down, and it you end up being, like you said, being punted off in, you know, three different directions, and if you are healthy, you know,
you're generally okay.
Yeah.
If you're really not symptom, I mean, I don't want to say it's like you're going to find probably more from a lab from something insidious than a physical exam finding.
And that's why you like people the Cleveland heart panel, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a good overall
kind or of. Or a CT calcium score. That yeah. would be like, hey, a little bit more. Because we had a super, super healthy 42-year-old, I think it was 42-year-old male, incredible shape. And he just had a history of hyperlipidemia. And we weren't managing that, but at one point, I believe he told one of our practitioners, hey, I think I might want to be on a statin. I think the cardiologist would want me to put me on one of those. There's a really great Joe Rogan episode, episode 1979. We talked about it today. That's why it's fresh on my mind, about statins.
It's about statins?
1979.
Really?
Yep. Episode 1979.
Who's it with? Is it just with another?
It's the guy. He's a UK guy okay. that really goes into depth about the studies that say it prolongs your life. And he has some opinions on it. But we did a CT calcium on him. And it was 2,500. It should be zero. And so he had a quadruple bypass. Super healthy 42-year-old. So it's like that kind of stuff is like a little bit more telling than I listen to your heart.
That makes sense.
Same way with like prostate exams. Prostate exams are kind of going by the wayside. I say that and a urologist will tell me differently. Your dad would say differently too. But a lot of, they're trying to... This is going to kill me. I'm so sorry. Yes, my battery's running out. I get it. I'm not texting, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really not. People aren't doing prostate exams as much anymore because an MRI is going to tell you more.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And two, sometimes you can miss things. You have to really know what you're feeling for. More often than not, if it's big, you're going to get an MRI.
Right.
So
right.
And so why not just get up? Like some, I think some countries are actually just skipping for that and just doing MRIs.
I love that this question was asked. One, because it seems that they're very much on the prevention side. So we appreciate that on this show. So thank you so much for bringing that in. Ange, thanks for that answer.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to get to the comments. If you guys have a question for Andy, go ahead and put it in the comments. Again, this is the Performance Medicine Show, our
let's
health
make
and
it,
wellness
let's make
Q&A.
It nice, nice and easy. Softballs, guys. Softballs.
All right, let's see Rhonda's question here over on YouTube. Thank you, Rhonda, for hanging out with us this evening. Have you ever heard of pulling oil? It's a mouth rinse, and if so, is it safe, and do you recommend it? Pulling oil.
I haven't heard of that, but I've heard of an oil that you put in your mouth. I've heard of oil putting in your mouth, and is it supposed to get the bad bacteria out? I don't know much about that. The thing I don't know about mouth health, though, is that a lot of mouthwashes are not good for you, and a lot of toothpaste aren't either. There's a big debate about fluoride, but also with mouthwashes, they kill all that bacteria in your mouth, and you need bacteria in your mouth. The things that prevent you from getting sick, your nasal passages, any opening into your body is supposed to have bacteria. So you don't really want to rinse out all the bacteria. I would venture to say I would look and see what its mechanism of action is. Is it supposed to be pulling out all bacteria? Or if it says killing 99.9% of bacteria, you don't want to put it in your mouth. If it's supposed to pull out the bad stuff, then sure. There's a company called Biocidin. Mm. I think it's Biocidin's really big on mouth health. So I would say I would look at it and see what it's actually doing and what you're doing it for. If you're doing it for a particular reason, I wouldn't say that that's part of preventative. Or like everyone needs to be putting pulling oil in their mouth. I haven't heard of that. But the Biocidin people are really into Biocidin. Mm. They say mouth health is everything.
It kind of feels like it is everything in a lot of ways. I'm going to the dentist in the morning. No, sorry, I'm going to
the
dentist.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, write this down in your diary. Ben is going to the dentist. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, and everyone on here should thank Ben. He's finally going, okay? I live at the dentist. I love Martin Dentistry. I could be on
awesome.
Their billboard. I love them. This is a mouth by Martin.
Shout out to Martin Dentistry.
Shout out. I love them. I have their membership. I went on my birthday this year. I love it. Never has my mouth felt cleaner.
All right, let's get to Rich here. Rich, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Rich.
Son broke ulna and radius last night playing soccer. Any micronutrients to speed recovery?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I hate that, man.
Sucks.
One, because I know that's a bummer, you know, if you're playing high school sports and then you can't play the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But any micronutrients, anything that you would kind of recommend for a bone break?
Probably vitamin D. I mean, yeah. That would be the one I would say. A lot of it's too rich, depends on his age. So, I mean, you don't want to. Kids are really resilient at building backbone. Ulna and radius, it's not at the growth plate. Like, that's something too. You don't want to stunt a growth plate. So I'd make sure that he has good follow-up with orthopedics, that he stabilizes that. You want to, if it's a break, you want to stabilize that break. Vitamin D is going to help transport calcium into the bones, so that can help out with healing. I would say ice, heat, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Icing and heat so that he doesn't, and two, you don't want to restrict movement on it because you don't want to get a frozen joint. The wrist is tough. The wrist really, that's a hard one to break, or your forearm. I have a friend of mine's mom is going through that with some really bad, like a frozen joint, but you would think of a frozen shoulder, but this is a wrist. She cannot bend it. And so a lot
that
of
affects your life.
She can't grab anything. Yeah. So I'd say a good PT once that's fully healed, I would say vitamin D is something that I would do. He should just have really good nutrition and he should rest it. I broke my arm in kindergarten and a lot of it was rest, good nutrition, stabilize the joint. And then make sure to you get range of motion back whenever it's fully healed. But I would say vitamin D would be the one that I'd go for.
All right, Rich. Thank you for that question.
I'm so sorry.
Your son.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a very speedy recovery.
And too, if you're looking at recovery in general, peptides are really good recovery. So BPC-157, people heal well with BPC. You can take it orally or injectable. People will do, sometimes they'll do like GHK copper. It's more of like a healer. GHK copper is a good one. So depending on his age, peptides might be an interesting way, or if he doesn't, you don't feel like he's recovering well.
Let's get to, I think Winnie B had to leave us. She's actually got a live show going on right now. Shout out to Winnie B.
Oh, Winnie. Get that live show, Winnie.
We will answer this question for her. Hopefully she'll watch it later. What's your answer for this? Is will you see children age 16 and a half for weight loss? That's an interesting question. What's your thoughts on this?
So kind of a blanket rule for performance medicine is we don't see peds. We're usually 18 and up. There are some special cases where you can intervene a little bit early. Of course, you have to be seen with the parent. That's a case-by-case thing. So if you're interested in that, we just have to find the provider within the clinic that will feel comfortable. The great thing about being 16 and a half is you're nearly
– Yeah.
What you get worried about is weight-based stuff. So if we're looking for weight loss, we're looking at what interventions can we utilize. Or two, getting this child involved with nutrition and seeing right. Lucas is probably the most important thing. We would do that for 16 and a half for sure. But medically, we're licensed to do it. We just don't see peds generally. But 16 and a half is close enough to 18. I would say that this is probably a yes. But that's a blanket statement from performance medicine is that we don't.
Yeah.
But can we and can you intervene with weight loss medications at 16 and a half? Yes. There's a lot of the GLP-1s. Victoza is indicated above 12 and above now. Metformin is. All these other ones are going to be indicated for it too. They'll have a peds indication as well. So there are some medications that can be out there if that's what they're interested in. But nutrition for sure. Nutrition and what kind of movement they're getting too. And having a healthy relationship with those two is really important.
Such a great question, because that's a formative age and might be a great age to like set really healthy habits.
Yes.
Winnie B, thank you so much. Yes. I'm going to get to Tammy here, and I think I know there's been you might have been helped already, Tammy. But what we'll do is we'll just talk a little bit. I know we've put out a couple videos on Benbendazole. I'm interested to know what your thoughts are.
Fenben is a yes.
If it's just
for cancer. Yeah. I mean, too, I hate if you're going through that.
Yeah.
But two, yeah. We have a lot of episodes on fenbendazole and cancer, and that's what I refer to. I think it's an absolute yes. Anybody that says they have, I had a patient very recently that talked about a potential cancer diagnosis within the thyroid. Fenbendazole is a great idea for that. So, yeah, I think that's my thoughts on that are an absolute yes. Yeah, go for it.
And Tammy, like Ann said, if you want to dive a bit deeper, there are a couple episodes that we've done on the Common Sense MD on fenbendazole and artemisinin in particular. Thank you so much for that question. I hope everything's okay. Let's keep going here. Where am I at? I think we're on... let's see. There we go. Edna, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Edna's with us most Tuesdays. We appreciate you so much.
Oh, Edna. I wish I was wearing my socks right now. I wish I was. Or my coffee cup.
Edna is asking, is it okay to take an 81 milligram aspirin and meloxicam together? We talk a lot about the, you know, a low dose aspirin. What's your thoughts on this combo?
Yes. I would have to triple check on this, but yes, because there are different mechanisms for pain relief. So one is an NSAID, meloxicam's NSAID, and then two, aspirin has a different mechanism for antiplatelets. So two, and I believe a COX-2 inhibitor. I think that's the actual definition of aspirin. So yeah, I think they're safely taken together. Yes, but also... if you're taking aspirin preventatively, meloxicam's probably you're taking for something. If there's a way to get rid of that something, I'd rather you not be on meloxicam and be on aspirin. If you're going to choose between the two for a preventative standpoint, I would say get rid of the meloxicam and do aspirin 81. But you can take them together. Mm. I haven't read anything that you can't. Please correct me if I'm wrong on that one. But there are two different mechanisms of action for decreasing pain. And so... I think, yeah, take them together. But if you can, meloxicam is the one I would work on saying it's a safer mechanism of an NSAID to take long term. Meloxicam 7.5 or 15. But yeah, you can.
All right, Edna, thank you so much. I hope that helps. I'm going to keep moving.
Edna,
here.
We all have got pain, baby. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to get rid of it. Maybe even a peptide would help, like a peptide. Yeah, a peptide might be a fun intervention, too, from meloxicam. You think about whenever you think about the NSAIDs, you're thinking about kidney health. So you're putting too much stress or emphasis on the kidneys. That can just decrease your filtration rate.
All right, let's keep going here. I'm going to get to Lucinda. Over on YouTube. Thank you, Lucinda, for hanging out. I saw Dr. Rogers in December after a breast cancer diagnosis. I've completed conventional treatments, and I'm now looking for something holistic. I've started IV vitamin C at Performance Med. Other recommendations? Lucinda, we're praying for you. Thank you so much for this question.
And congrats. That's awesome. If you're in remission and gone through conventional treatments to get rid of it, vitamin C is a yes. Vitamin C can boost your immune. You're really looking at boosting your immune system. Depending on the conventional treatments that were chosen, you're really looking at radiation, chemo, or surgical removal. So that's cutting, it's poisoning the cancerous cells, or it's burning the cancerous cells. So two, you want, whenever you go through that kind of trauma, your body wants to replenish itself and boost its immune system again. So you want to look for immune boosters. Vitamin C IV is great. A lot of people want to do a glutathione push. That helps out with boosting your immune system post-cancer. Some people would take any preventative that they can, low-dose naltrexone, methylene blue, rapamycin, metformin, things that are going to say, I want to now work on my cellular health to work on the mitochondria. NAC is something else that people take too.
Yep.
So that might be things about looking more from a holistic standpoint of how can I boost my immune system? How can I keep inflammation down? You'll want to do vitamin D as well. Vitamin D injections, perhaps. Even too, with looking at breast cancer, depending on what type of cancer it was, if it was estrogen or progesterone receptor positive, HER2 negative, maybe considering some testosterone therapy. There's different ways that's a very alternative, non-conventional treatment to help out with just how you feel. So looking even at a testosterone pellet might be something that would be great for you to get your energy back.
Yeah, that's something that...
And eating well. Eating
cutting
well.
Cutting out sugar.
Sugar loves cancer.
Yeah.
Sugar or cancer loves sugar. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
But looking at really, really a clean, clean diet, what will help?
You know what's interesting? The Common Sense MD episode that went out today was on LED light therapy. And it's we talked with Mike Vickers, which is an entrepreneur up in the Tri-Cities. And it was really interesting. This superhuman protocol he mentions in the episode, you guys have probably heard, is from Da Vinci Medical, I think. Which is a kind of a well-known, integrative, preventative medicine type company. And the whole premise of this protocol is, I think cancer hates oxygen was one thing he says. And they do this like oxygen training where you're breathing in 93% oxygen.
Yeah.
And it like kills cancer cells or something.
Yeah. And super interesting. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Yeah. That's another one, finding an HBOT to do that in. Mm. And do they have HBOT at that place?
Well, it's not open yet. It opens in June, but no, I don't think they do. But they mentioned that they're thinking about it.
That's a hefty duty. I've been in those before. You feel like you're in an airplane.
I think you you did a TikTok in one, didn't you?
I had a very short TikTok career. Very short TikTok career. I'm not meant to be online, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really not.
Yeah, you're doing awesome on here, man.
Hey, thank you.
This is your format. This is your format.
All right. This is my format.
Thank you, Lucinda, for that question. Yeah. Let's go. Let's get another one from Winnie B, and then we'll move
Winnie
forward.
B.
Could
Winnie
berberine
B.
Help,
she on the
could berberine help with semaglutide? So we're getting this question a lot. That's why I wanted to get to this is, should I take berberine with semaglutide or... not. We've talked about being nature's GLP-1. What's your thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah. You can. Yes, yeah. You can. Those are not contraindicated. What happens and what's really been studied is Ozempic with metformin. Mm. So if you're looking at it, those would be semaglutide is going to be the compounded molecule of Ozempic, and then berberine is going to be the natural version of metformin. And so metformin can be taken with Ozempic, but when you have two things that are working against insulin, you might want to adjust dosings on it. So I just make sure that you would eat with those. So yes, and maybe you kind of titrate your dosing based on how you feel. You make sure your blood sugar doesn't drop. Technically speaking, both berberine and semaglutide are hypoglycemic neutral drugs. They shouldn't cause low blood sugar. But in conjunction, sometimes they can. Mm. So I'd watch for that one. But can you take them? Yes, they're not contraindicated.
Thank you, Winnie B, for that question. Let's get to Roel. Andy, can you explain a little about fingernail health? Just wondering what you meant. That's interesting.
Yeah, okay. I'm not an expert on fingernails. I'm so sorry. I'm not an expert on fingernails. But can there be? Yes, absolutely. You can tell. Like you, your fingernails, you can tell if you're oxygenating. That's where your pulse ox comes through. So your fingertips, that's where you put your pulse ox through. And these are the last places that get nutrients. The extremities, the fingernails, and the toenails. That's why fungal infections in your nails are really hard to treat because the blood flow doesn't go out there very much. But you can tell different. Psoriasis has pitting, like little punctate, looks like little rat bites in it. There can be ridges in the nails from some vitamin deficiencies. Spooning of the nails usually is oxygen deficiency with like smokers. Like they have or iron deficiency has spooning. Maybe iron deficiency has spooning. If you Google fingernail health, you will see an outline and a picture of every funky looking fingernail and what it could mean. So a lot of that is going to be with nutrient deficiencies, oxygen deficiencies, and sometimes some autoimmunity. And you can Google pictures. I deal with psoriasis flares, and during my flares, I will find little rat bites in my nails. Pitting.
Really?
They call them pitting. Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Can you tell everybody, you mentioned last night that you were doing a parasite cleanse?
We're killing the worms.
What is that? Like a parasite cleanse?
Yeah.
Because it seems like a good idea.
Yeah. Ben, you're probably full of worms. Ben is chock full of worms.
I got to get rid of them. Were you taking vitamins for it?
So there's a lot of it's Tutka, Advanced Tutka. That's something that you're getting a lot of binders that then grab the parasite and force it out. That's what I'm learning.
Oh, it's a binder. This. Okay.
A lot of it's binders to get it, to hold it and force it out. They like to kind of get into the intestinal wall and hang out and feed and lay eggs. And so I've passed some eggs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And I refuse to take a picture of it. I'm not going to take a picture of it.
Don't.
But people have.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Do you feel better?
I've had two worms that pass. Two.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you feel better?
I do. I do. Yes, I do. I'm glad I'm getting that stuff out. I'm in month three. I'm a little annoyed with it right now. It's a little like the third month is like four times a day you got to do something.
Yeah.
And it started off with twice a day. And then the last month, I think, is another four times a day. But is it helping? Yes. Yes. I know I didn't have a lot right at the beginning, but people that I've tried this with who have a lot of autoimmunity see a lot of results.
Man. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick. I want to get to, Sandy, I do Tom's, and I think Carter mentioned Tom's, in there.
Tom's. Yeah. That's what I used to.
And Burt's Bees as well. Thank you, Carter.
People sometimes will just do, baking soda. Isn't that a thing?
I think so.
Just baking soda and water and then just brush.
Let's keep going here. We're going to get to as many as possible tonight. Gator Hater, what's going on? Hope you're doing wonderful. Let's get to Barbie, and I know I'm sure I'm missing some. Barbie is asking, cold plunge therapy over 60, yes or no?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, too, I listened to a podcast with Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
I love Goldie.
I do, too.
She did a lot of cold plunging and immediate sauna heat therapy. It's almost like hot cold therapy in Sweden. Instead of the thing.
Huh.
Yeah. Like a real thing. So yeah, you can absolutely cold plunge. That's going to help out with your immune system. God, I hate the thought of that. I do. I do hate the thought of that. I like the warm sauna better. But two, cold plunging is really good for immune system. I've taken cold showers. You can actually, for those of you who don't want to buy a tank for it or get an ice bath every day, you can technically just turn the water slowly towards cold after you take your normal warm shower. That's how a lot of people get used to it.
Yeah.
But it really, it helps out everything. It's very invigorating for your immune system to get activated. That's why people do it. Over 60, I would say yes. I would just take it easy, though. Don't do it to where you're going to pass out.
Yeah. And Barbie.
And have someone with you.
The episode today with Mike Vickers, they talk about contrast therapy. So going from a sauna to cold plunging, and talks a little bit about the purpose of that. And there's a research, I think her name, they mentioned her, Dr. Susan Soberg, has a protocol, but you might want to check that out on the Common Sense MD. It's on the Performance Medicine YouTube channel. Thank you, Ange, for that answer there. We're going to keep moving.
Everybody's in his house tonight.
We got a crew and we got a party.
Got
Rachel in the house.
Hey, Rachel, how's it going?
Rachel, what's going on? It's so good to see you. Thank you for being here. And one, I love this question, and I love that Andy's going to answer it because he's a huge fan of the high-dose vitamin D injections. So the question is, if you have vitamin D injections, do you have to add vitamin K as well? It's a great, great point.
So the vitamin D injections do not have vitamin K2. So that's what you're looking for to help transfer calcium to the bones. Some of it depends on the age and what you're doing it for. If that's the only form of vitamin D that you're taking, you probably want to do a vitamin K as well, or make sure that whatever super vitamin that you have has a K2 in it. A lot of people get K confused with potassium. It's not potassium, it's vitamin K. You got that right. And two, that helps direct calcium. So I would say absolutely yes. We used to do it where it's age dependent. Like young people just have it's vitamin like
over,
K2. It's,
over 40 maybe?
It used to be over 40. I take a vitamin D with K2 now just because we can. It's not going to hurt you. But a lot of it was as we age, that vitamin gets depleted so that you then add it in with your vitamin D. But if you're taking injections, it's usually 50,000 IUs. Take them once every 2 to 4 weeks.
Make sure it's D3 versus D2.
Yep. So I would say yes. Yes, add it to it. A vitamin K2. That's a great question. It does not come with it.
Thank you, Rachel, for that question. That's a very common thing people ask, because we talk a lot about having D3 with K2. Okay, let's keep moving here. Gator Hater, I think, has a... No, Margaret, and then I'll get to Gator Hater. My November CT scan showed a large amount of mural thrombus in descending thoracic aorta and severe amount of coronary artery calcifications. Do you have any suggestions for treatments for both? Wonderful question, Margaret.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. So two, I would definitely see a cardiologist. 100%. If that came back on my CT scan or a coronary calcium where you get a CT picture with it, I would see a cardiologist. A lot of it is a lot of what a cardiologist is going to do is assess other risk factors and two, see if they need to open up some of those arteries that are calcified. And two, especially with your thoracic aorta, our grandmother, she had ruptured, a descending aortic aneurysm that ruptured.
Yep.
So you don't want that to have an aneurysm with it. So I'd say too, with what you got going on, suggestions for treatments as far as like things that you can do right now, some people will do chelators. There is one, I don't know it right off the bat, but EDTA is a very popular one.
Yep.
Doesn't have a ton of like great data to say that that's the end all be all, unless it's like IV EDTA, which you would have to do so a couple of people in Knoxville that do it, and maybe another guy in Asheville that does IV chelation therapy. And chelating just means it scrapes, it's an artery scrubber, and it'll scrape off those calcifications. There is one that a patient of mine sent to me. It's a really good one, and I'll get it. It's in my email, and he swears by it. Mm. He gets a little bit of angina or chest pain, and it goes away with that. And it is a chelator.
And it's not EDTA?
And it's not EDTA. And so I will find out what that one was, and we'll get back to you on that. But that would be something, too. And two, when you're looking at emboli and thrombus, you're looking at two different things here, too. So usually a thrombus and an emboli is something through the venous system that gets shot back up into the heart. So I would say, too, some sort of blood thinner and some sort of artery scrubber. So looking at picnogenol, looking at aspirin, looking at some of the oral chelators, like EDTA or this one that I will find out, maybe looking at IV chelation. But number one, I would see a cardiologist. Yeah. I would just to make sure, hey, what's my exercise tolerance? What's my stress test? Has this changed my EKG? Am I at a point two where I need to seriously consider opening stuff up?
Margaret, I hope that helps. And what we'll do, if you want, you can email me, ben@performancemedicine.net, just so I have your email. And as soon as Andy checks his email, we'll correspond with that.
Yeah.
What's missing?
I have it right in my email.
All right, let's get to Gator Hater. Gator Hater, what's up? Thank you for hanging out. Going to set up an appointment in Cleveland panel tomorrow. That's incredible. Last year, my test was very low. I think I want to do the pellet treatment. So I think they're talking about hormones. Can I do that without doing any other precursor treatment?
Yes. Yeah. We used to have a blanket statement that you had to see what testosterone does to you, try out some injections, and see what your levels look like. But we can make a pretty good guesstimate on where to start with pellet values or milligrams. We kind of have a standard starting dose that can be up or down titrated based on kind of weight and feel and level. So you can. But to let them know, if you have an appointment in Cleveland. So I would let them know that, like, if you want to do a Cleveland and a pellet that same day, I would let them know. They would get mad at me if I didn't say that. So to the scheduling, so that they can make enough room to say, hey, great, can we put the pellet in today? And then you're going to just get on the table and do it. And you'll want enough time for that.
I hope that helps. I think they're
Carter, are you proud of me for that? Carter's on here. She would be so proud.
Carter, can you let us know, how did he do with that? How did he do with that question?
Thank you.
So Gator Hair saying, I've got a bone graft procedure upcoming. Are there any? Okay. So this is a follow-up to the hormone question there. I've got a bone graft procedure upcoming. Are there any peptides or supplementation options to promote bone growth?
You know, I don't know if any peptides, I might ask Robin that. I don't know about any peptides for bone growth. Literally the first thing that came to my mind was the second Harry Potter book where he has to take Skele growth or something. And it regrew his bones and his arm after a really tough Quidditch match.
Those Quidditch matches.
Ben didn't read Harry Potter.
I didn't.
He didn't. I got him one of the books. He never read it. But I don't know anything off the top of my head. Again, anything with bone is going to be hormones. Estrogen is very good for your bones. Calcium is very good for your bones when it's vitamin D directed. Some people do. There's one life extension vitamin called Bone Restore.
Oh, yeah.
That a lot of people like that. There's some controversy about direct calcium.
Yeah.
Good nutrition. I would say for bone health, really good nutrition. Yep. And two, you, once that's healed, then you're going to want to do some weight resistant exercise to help build it. That's going to be probably the best way to do it. But peptides, I don't know anything off the top of my head. BPC wouldn't hurt. Somorolin, tesamorolin wouldn't hurt either.
Thank you, Gator Hater. Let's get to one. I just want to put this up for we're proud of that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm thinking about the company, okay?
And Stacy, he loves you back.
Oh God, I can't. I love Stacy. I do. I do. That's real. That's real what we got. It's real. Stacy's the bomb.
And Stacy just wants to know about the hair.
Listen, I made a deal, okay? I signed on the dotted line and I said, I'm going to have to take this for the rest of my life. But I'm on the goods. I'm on what we call the goods. I'm on finasteride, minoxidil. So that's preventing hair loss, increasing angiogenesis at the follicle hair growth. I'm on Dr. Rogers' Happy Healthy Hair. And then I'll also shampoo sometimes with Autogeny C shampoo.
Yep.
So that's those are kind of my four go. And then two, with hair, this is so nice. Thank you. I've been growing out. I'm trying to get the locks down a little bit. In the room today, I shook my head a lot like this. So no, thank you. But that's two, good nutrition will help out with hair. People are on and off the wagon with biotin or collagen, but I think too, that's everything that you can possibly do for hair growth. Making sure that you have stress management, because stress will make your hair come out so quickly. Mm. You don't want to overwash or overtreat your hair. Really, I was a L'Oreal kid. I think I was sponsored by them.
Remember? Lessons.
I was an Herbal Essence. Were you Herbal Essence?
I might have been Herbal Essence in like...
Tresemme? Tresemme. Well, I was a L'Oreal kid. I was a sweet L'Oreal kid.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I overwashed my hair for forever. You don't want to, your hair has natural oils on it that you want to keep. So I think too, making sure that you don't overwash it. Wash it once or twice a week. Without a stripper of a shampoo. Some shampoos are terrible. Shampoos are meant to be washing your scalp. You want really nice oils for your hair. And two, I'll take a brush.
Carter's saying beef liver for hair growth as well.
Carter loves beef liver.
Yeah.
And beef liver is a full nutrient. I mean, that's like a nutrient dense implementation. So beef liver is great. I was going to make a joke about combing my hair, but I only found this scissors.
Duh. Got no combs up here.
I'm going to cut it. No combs. No, Ben doesn't have a comb.
Okay. Margaret, thank you. Email.
Good.
Send me an email and give us some more info and we'll do the best we can.
I'd be very curious to see what you think about this natural product for the, oral chelation to see, maybe when you do a repeat CT calcium. If it came down.
And it's not EDTA?
It's not EDTA.
Interesting. No. Margaret, thank you for giving us some context there. Ben at performancemedicine.net. I think if I've missed you, real quickly put it towards the end because I won't be able to find it, but we're going to be here for another minute or so. Andy, do you remember this?
I was. I was big on the D. I loved vitamin D.
Yeah.
I loved it. It got to like 120. It wasn't levels. Crazy. It wasn't super crazy.
But you want to be 80 to 100?
100, yeah. Yeah, you do. There was one more. It was from Miss Michelle Shelton. I love Michelle.
Oh, yeah, it's Miss Michelle.
Yep, she's keep on boop.
There we go. Sorry, Michelle.
Michelle in the house. I love Michelle Shelton.
Thank you, Michelle. Yes. I'm sorry.
I would never forget you. I've been looking out for you.
She's asking, do the vitamin D injections absorb better than taking a pill?
I think anything by injection, yes, is going to absorb. Now, too, it's a fat-soluble vitamin, too, so you still want to eat with a vitamin D injection, but it's a little bit more potent. It's going straight in. So, maybe you don't need it because you're doing an injection, so it kind of goes through bypass. the liver, but or bypass his first pass. Yes, you're going to get higher levels with vitamin D injections, 100%. It just depends on how often you do them, or two, if you're taking, I had a guy, his vitamin D levels were 80 to 90, and he was taking 10,000 IUs of vitamin D.
Orally.
Orally.
Okay.
And did great.
Yeah.
So too, it just depends on how much you're taking. You can get those levels up with pill. I always think injections probably going to be more potent.
And that's why, you know, all of our providers say always check levels, you know.
Check levels.
To see if it's working.
And see, too, if it's coming out of guys, B through the roof. And he wasn't taking B. I'm like, you're getting some B. There's some B in there. It's a big B.
Guys, we're going to call it a show. Thank y'all so much. How'd we do? We normally at the end of the show, 1 to 10, you know, how did Andy and I do tonight? We're doing it in office here in Fountain City, overlooking the Fountain City Park. Shout out to all of our Powell Halls, Fountain City, North Knoxville. Thank you, Allison. We love you. Carter, thank you.
Thank y'all so much for being here. This is great.
Steve, thank you so much. Gwendolyn, thank you guys so much. We love y'all. Okay, so what we're going to do next week, we will be back live. We're going to go 7 to 8 Tuesday for the Performance Medicine Show. We do a health and wellness live Q&A every Tuesday. We'll put this up for you guys if you're interested in any of the Dr. Rogers formulas.
Make Katie happy. She will be so excited.
I tell you what, you will make us so happy if we get an order tonight. Performancemedicine.net/shop for any of the vitamins that we mentioned tonight. We also have Digest Shield on there as well as NeuroPro is on there, the oral capsules.
3D glasses?
No, that's for the eclipse.
Oh,
come on, man.
I didn't participate. One of our provider in Johnson City, Brittany, she's amazing. She went and saw the full eclipse at 100% coverage and said it was the most amazing thing ever.
All right, guys, we are going to call it a show. We love you. Thank you to all of our
team.
Thank
you.
Grandma Mary's in here. Thank you so much, Grandma. We
Kiki,
love you.
Kiki, we came from you, Kiki.
Cherry, thank you. And we did. We had people on our team in here tonight. Thank you guys so much for all
thank
the hard work
you.
In
yes.
office and then coming in and hanging out with us on these live Q&A shows. The comments, the questions, you guys make this show great. Thank you so much. And thank you, man. Thank you for doing this.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Guys, we are out of here.
Until
I'm gonna
next
look
time,
for my
we'll see you.
Outro. Where's my outro at, Brad? Come on, Brad. Come in with the outro. Don't go away.